Denver, and welcome in to another edition of the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. I am joined today with Brandon, a.k.a. Squirrel, and my man Jacob Roth back there running the board. What's going on, gentlemen? How you feeling?
Yo, 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 hanging out with you today, man. Filling in for some people, but we're going to make it work and have ourselves a good show today.
Oh, yeah, man. We always, you know, make an effort to have a good show, even though it's snowing outside right now.
Snowing.
Like, dude,
I'm sure that can.
92 degrees yesterday.
It
bro.
Was, dude. It was. And it's what, 36 right now?
Yeah.
I have the camera on Facebook Live. Everybody can see outside if it is snowing. So it's, yeah. They say here in Denver, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes and it can change.
Yeah. Indeed, it can. And
can't say that for Florida too much. It stays in 98. All day long.
But I can say, with you guys being so close to the Gulf, it rains like all the time.
It rains every day. 3 o'clock showers every day. It's like a timer.
Yeah.
It's 2 to 3 o'clock. It's raining.
All right. Well, we're going to transition over to some headlines. Ron Burgundy. Let's talk to it. Let's talk about it.
Come on, Ron.
Some things going on in sports today that will make your brain fall out of your skull.
Because I've got nothing here. You're giving me baseball and hockey, and I got my keister blown in the wind.
It's sports.
All around the clock. Sports all the time.
That's the concept of the news.
Oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous.
So, Squirrel, what do you got for a headline today, my man?
I want to bring to everybody's attention that the Arizona Cardinals have made DeAndre Hopkins the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the NFL. At about $27.25 million a year for 2 years, putting his total at $54 million. Wow.
Right.
I mean, we had a little talk about this. I think he is worth it. Obviously, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is probably, other than Michael T, is the best wide receiver in the league with no comparison, no doubt, I don't think. People can put whoever they want in that category, but Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins separate themselves from the rest of the league. It's just a matter of time till Michael T gets his now, which, man, I can't wait for did it hit a face? Who's it? Did you hear what happens? If a home run or a foul ball hits your face and breaks it, you get the ball.
There you go. I think it just hit. I think it hit past where the seats were. So he put some heat on that thing, man.
Jeez, always. Wow.
But yeah.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins deserves every penny. Ended up getting the better end of a blockbuster deal. In means of Arizona trading the Houston Texans for the most ridiculous trade I've ever been a part of. And second rounder and David Johnson for the honestly, like I said, second first best hands in the NFL, which as we watched 2 weeks later, Stephon Diggs went for two first rounders, a third and a fourth round pick. Which I think that is what was worth D-Hop and maybe a player. Like, you can't sit there and put that on Diggs and not – but, I mean, I think DeAndre made out now. So, I think D-Hop was okay with it.
Yeah, oh, as a Bills fan, I'd have much rather gotten Hopkins for just what we traded for Diggs.
I mean, Diggs is a Diggs, yeah. Anything, Diggs is – yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Yeah, it's just one of those situations where I – to this day don't understand what's the beef between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean,
is it them that have a beef? Those two have a beef?
Dude, absolutely, man, because he's in charge, right? And so things don't go down the way that they do unless Bill O'Brien ultimately has the last say-so. You know, right now he's the GM and the head coach, which I think he needs to be fired as both, but, you know, that's another story for
another
day.
He's about in the same seat Bradich is.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, just ridiculous. But
it's yeah.
But you know, as far as the D-Hop deal, man, I mean, he definitely deserves it.
Yeah,
there's no question in my mind, because when you look at what he's produced from his time back in 2015 when he was coming out of Clemson just trying to figure out exactly, you know, where his role was as a Texans. And that first training camp, he emerged as the number one receiver when they were trying to figure out what direction they wanted to
Absolutely.
Go between Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. He survived the storm through all of that. And then in 2017, he hopped right back in. And
he even had to deal with Watson. Yeah, he even had to deal with Osweiler.
Yeah,
he had to go through a slew of quarterbacks before he got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I think it was 2016.
Yeah, Osweiler. Yeah.
So he had to deal with a lot his first couple of seasons. Then he finally got a comparable quarterback. And so through it all, his consistency has led to this moment. They're probably outside of Michael Thomas and – maybe
about to say who else are you going to put in that division? go ahead.
Pretty easily, I'd say. I know he doesn't always catch the touchdowns, but
who's that?
Julio.
Oh yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Yeah, I was like, maybe Julio.
Because his first 5 years, he was a monster. I mean, he kind of. I mean,
you got to understand, he's getting double teamed and triple teamed like every time down. Hey, so it was kind of hard.
Hey, would you not double team as a defensive coordinator?
I definitely would.
Just like D Hop gets double teamed, Michael Thomas gets double teamed.
Well, I mean, they do get double-teamed, but I think the difference between them and Julio is kind of like a long strider, you know, in the sense
deep
that,
ball.
Like, he everything with him is down the field.
Is it funny?
Occasionally with a screen.
Is it funny to say this, that as talented as Julio is as a top three, top four wide receiver in the league, we don't normally see top wide receivers as deep ball people.
Right.
You know, like –
Well, I think outside of Calvin Johnson.
And do you remember Ted Ginn?
Yeah.
Ted Ginn Jr.
Yeah.
All he is a deep ball man. Let him fly. Just like I'm going to say Ruggs is going to be the same way. Judy's going to be like KJ Hamler. We'll put it like that. He's just a deep ball man. There's nothing we want KJ Hamler to do but sprint down the field 60 yards and Tyreek Hill it. Honestly, Tyreek Hill, he's a deep ball man. You see, you know what I'm saying? But when you turn and you look at Michael Thomas, I think that's not a deep ball, man. That's a 15 to 20 yards down the field, makes one tackle or breaks a tackle, touchdown. D-Hop's the same way. D-Hop will catch short ones, but you don't watch D-Hop go 60 yards down the field and he's looking over his head for a 60-yard bomb. He doesn't normally do that.
Yeah, and I think that's why we give credit to the top receivers because the route tree that they mm-hmm. desire to run consistently is more effective than the 1 to 2 to 3 main routes that someone who is always open on those routes always get.
Yep.
And you get more respect for being able to get open on all of the routes because
you
have some guys who – literally just run nothing but screens or go routes. Mm-hmm. And then if you can run a screen, a go, a post, a flat, underneath, if you can just open it up a little bit, man, you give your quarterback so many varieties.
That's why.
And that's ultimately why D-Hop is the highest paid receiver in NFL history.
That's why Edelman and Amendola and Wes Welker.
Yeah,
you know all those
traditional
Tom,
slots.
All those Tom Brady little slot guys that he created to monsters. You know, that's all it was. I mean, Tom Brady is the greatest thrower of all time in 10 yards, dude. The man doesn't miss, and he rarely throws over 20 to 30 yards. You don't need to when you got people like that who make moves and run routes.
Yeah, no question about it. So you know, we'll switch topics here, and then we'll get over to my headline. I had several to choose from. It was a very eventful weekend, but I am also going to stick in the world of the NFL. And Mitchell Trubisky was named the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. First and foremost, why did you even go out and get Nick Foles if you're going to take a chance in believing in him again? It took a Super Bowl winning quarterback to come in for him to be like, oh, now I got to step my game up. Now I got to be a better leader, better passer. Now I got to be more efficient in the offense. Now I got to actually learn the playbook. Like, the only thing that really hindered me from really liking Mitchell Trubisky was I hate seeing quarterbacks who have a little bit of it in flashes. Like, if you're going to give it to me, give it to me every single
play
week.
Play football, man. Come on.
Come on.
But, okay, to that, I've never looked at Mitchell Trubisky as a starter, even in North Carolina. I didn't see him transitioning to an NFL quarterback, you know. Drew Locke's going to be a better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky ever would have been. Now, when you turn around and look at this, why is everybody sleeping on Nick Foles? He took a Philadelphia broken-down team in the playoffs with old broke Carson Wentz that can't stay healthy, wins you a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Does nearly the same thing the next year, if we don't remember that. Goes to Jacksonville, right? They sold him for bottom dollar to Jacksonville, what, $50 million or some stupid deal that he took to go to Jacksonville as a starter. First play of his NFL career in Jacksonville, throws a 70-yard touchdown to, was it DJ Shark? Injured his shoulder.
Yeah.
Out. Gone. Okay. Here comes Gardner Minshew. Didn't do that bad. I liked Gardner Minshew. But as soon as Gardner Minshew, as soon as Nick Foles was ready to go, they said, screw Gardner Minshew. Thanks for winning us the 6.5-7 games you did. But we're going to go back with Nick Foles. So, he went 4-3? He didn't do that bad.
So I think it was kind of a good timing plan for the Jaguars there, because Minshew was – we were in the midst of Minshew mania. It was
Minshew all, magic. We everything.
Loved Minshew. And then he went to London.
And
I can't remember who they played, mm-hmm. but he had
it was bad. It was bad, bad game.
And they
came
back and they said, all right, well, Nick Foles is our starter.
Uh-huh.
And I know Minshew maybe played another game or two at the end of the
season. And then Nick Foles, what? He didn't win a game the rest of the year. Am I wrong?
I don't think so. I don't know if they did.
So you sell him to Chicago after you just bought him for $80 million for 1 year? For what? To keep Minshew? When you get rid of literally the rest of your team, as we've seen, Jacksonville's got rid of literally everybody. They ain't got no one left.
Yeah.
No, there's no defense, the offense.
They're intentionally tanking for Trevor. I mean, it's
Could it be Trevor and Dabo?
Maybe. That would be interesting. I mean,
you think Dabo's got enough to be an NFL coach?
He's got enough, man. If he wanted to go be an NFL coach, he would have left already. I don't think he wants to be. It's same thing with my guy in OU. So.
Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, Lincoln Riley. So, I mean, they got all the cash that they want to go ahead and be one if they decide.
Of course they do. ACC powerhouse.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Lincoln Riley has produced several good quarterbacks. And not to mention, I mean, Dabo Swinney, he keeps finding his way back every year, even when he's counted out. Now, could that be credited to the fact that the ACC is not that good? That's another conversation.
That's exactly what it's credited to.
Maybe, man. But coming up on the other side, we're going to be discussing a little bit of Nuggets. And just trying to figure out what exactly is going on. It's not bad, but it's also not good. And we'll dive a little bit deeper into that on the other side. This is the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
Work with and learn from actual on-air talent that work within the Colorado media. Within a few months, you'll know how to engineer, produce, and even host your own TV/radio show. I'm a current graduate, and let me tell you, the Colorado Media School has given me opportunities and internships that have helped me take my career to the next level. So apply today at the Colorado Media School, located at 404 South Uphan Street in Lakewood, or visit us at coloradomediaschool.org.
It's back. The $12.99 buy one, get one, only at Olive Garden. Try our creamy fettuccine alfredo, hearty spaghetti with meat sauce, or our melty five cheese baked ziti. While you're at it, make sure you take a second entree home. With so many choices, how can you go wrong? And don't forget about our endless salads and warm breadsticks. Order online or find one of our convenient locations near you. Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family.
To the Cacharis River Bed and Breakfast for an inviting and relaxing retreat in the southwestern Colorado mountains. Whether you're kicking up your feet in the comfy day room or sipping on cocktails down by the river, you're sure to have a great time. Enjoy fishing, hiking, and hunting, all with the comforts of walk-in showers, private balconies overlooking the beautiful Cacharis River and valley, and breakfast cooked fresh daily by the loving hands of the owner.
Hoodie young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com. It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports life.
Previously on the Press Box.
I think it's going to be one of those seasons where as long as the pitching can keep you in the game, the bats will help you win the game, because in most cases it's the pitching that wins you the game. I think this season particularly the bats will win you the game. So I have to disagree, man. This sprint is going to be fun, it's going to be furious, and it's going to be fast.
Lifestyle programming.
But sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
And welcome back to the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beat On Air Network. If you want to give us a call and give us any of your hot takes today, you can give us a call at 303-937-6548. That is 303-937-6548. That's the CMS listener line. Or you can head over to Facebook and give us a like at GoMileHigh. Or you can head over to Twitter and give us a follow at GoMileHigh. But before we talk about the Nuggets, we have some breaking news. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the superstar and potential two-time MVP for the Milwaukee Bucks, is going to be out for Game 5. So that potentially will end the Bucks season. I don't want to say it will. I don't like
that will end the Bucks season.
I don't like to make those kind of guarantees, but potentially this tonight could be their last game. So
I mean look, they were down 3-0 with him yesterday. Last night they were down what 10-11 points when he went out.
The other night
wasn't last night.
Two nights ago
We get a lot of nights mixed up around here. And then he goes out, and then it seems like Milwaukee just came alive, dude. You know, the team came alive. Like you said, they were moving the ball without him. And you mentioned before, they're moving the ball because they don't have to move it through him.
Oh yeah.
And we know the offense is run through certain people. You know, Kawhi runs that offense. You know, LeBron runs his. Giannis runs it. You know, everything runs through certain people. And, dude, it was running through, Middleton? It was running through everyone.
Yeah,
there wasn't like a guy said, all right, I got this. It was just here. We all got this, and let's just get going. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And, you know, the Bucks are at their best when they are passing the ball. So they have their best potential to win without Giannis right now. But, again, I don't like to make guarantees. And I also don't like to guarantee that the Nuggets will win Game 4 because of how they lost Game 3. I mean, we're talking like less than 4 minutes to go in the half, in the first half. You have no turnovers. You're up by 12. You're playing outstanding defense. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they're doing what they do best. And for the most part, nobody else is really going off. You know, you're pretty much containing everybody else. And then all of a sudden, As soon as Kevin Harlan said the Nuggets have no turnovers, the entire train just went right off the rails. I mean, I don't want to call it commentator's jinx or anything, but I definitely noticed that. And just to see how the Nuggets were not able to get back on track. They had stretches, and a lot of people tried to blame the game on Jamal Murray last night. And yes, he had a bad game, but you can't put the entire onus on Jamal Murray because it was several times on defense with Michael Porter Jr., you know, showing his youth a little bit. And it was several times on defense where Jokic could have contested shots, but he just wants to put his hand up. And I'm just like, dude, you got to be a threat at the basket, man. Guys literally off the pick and roll, they're not scared of Nikola Jokic. They go right to the rim, and they are literally going on either, if not on top of him, they're going right through him. Like, they're not scared of him at all.
Can I just mention how much of a passer Jokic is, bro?
Oh yeah, dude. He's the best passing big man in the league.
I want to put him in a list of nearly all time. He is one of the best passing bigs I've ever watched. Cause we know bigs don't pass the ball too much. Right. You know, they get the ball passed to them. It's a dunk. It's a small layup. But dude, Jokic, like, it's weird to run everything through a center.
Right. Especially in today's time.
Especially right now, because it's normally a point guard, small forward, somebody with the talent and the movement. But when you sit here and you got to run an offense through a big in Jokic, which is, I think, probably the best passer on the team, which is pretty nuts that you put, you know, that I would put a center as one of the best passers, but he is. And when you run, like I'm saying, when you run an offense through a center, it's a lot different than running it through a point guard who sits outside a lot. You know, that ball comes in the paint all the time.
Right.
And then Jokic will grab it and throw it right back out. And then you got a bomb three. You got some, and I think
– Or you got somebody who's driving. You know, like Monte Morris. It was several times in the first half. Monte Morris was literally – all he did was cut back door and he was sitting wide open. Bounce pass,
that's it, right? Yeah. And then I think Denver is one of the better teams at doing that, especially running it through Jokic the way they do.
Jokic. But, no, I definitely agree. And I think when it's all said and done, Jokic will go down as the best passing big man of all time. I really don't think there's no competition all time right now.
Yeah.
But out of respect of the guys who've done this thing before, we're going to give him a couple more years to continue to do what he does best. With that being said, you know, I just think the Nuggets need to understand that, you know, you're not going to always hit shots. But your defense cannot leave every time that your offense leaves. That has been a consistent thing with the Denver Nuggets. Not just this playoffs, but their last few playoff runs. Like, going back to bless you, Jacob. Going back to, like, all the way back in 2013, back when George Karl was still coaching the team, every time that their offense stalled, their defense stalled as well. And the reality is, the Denver Nuggets of today, they have all the potential to win an NBA championship. You got people in the national media finally agreeing that the Nuggets, they will win a championship one day. As a matter of fact, I think it was Stephen A. Smith that said that they will win a championship one day earlier on First Take. And just to think about how everyone is starting to give you your respect, that's great. But I don't want you to rest on the fact that you got to play defense, because the great ones know how to play defense. Now, in the times that we're in, no one plays defense for 48 minutes. I'm just going to call it straight, because that's exhausting. Sure. And
that's tough.
Yeah, and you look at the number of possessions in today's game.
You can't even play offense for 48 minutes. Dude, you know?
Exactly. My point exactly. So to try to make this thing out that you have to play defense all 48 minutes, no, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, when it's time to lock in, which is in most cases the first quarter, the end of each quarter, the third quarter, and the end of the fourth quarter, those are usually like the points where you need to lock in the most. And I think the Nuggets struggle at locking in the third and at the end of the fourth. This has been a consistent thing. Like, the Nuggets, they have become accustomed to having their backs up against the wall. And championship teams understand that trials and tribulations come, But you can't base you trying to get where you need to go based off your trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you have to put yourself in positions to triumph. And it can't be Jamal Murray scoring 50 all the time, rescuing mm-hmm. you because you don't want to play
defense. I'm going to let you know Jamal Murray ain't going to score 50 all the time and rescue you.
That's the bottom line. I mean, you saw what Paul George did.
I'm about to say, what did he score the other night? 10, 11?
No, I think it was 12 the other night.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I shorted Jamal Murray a point. My fault.
Don't ever do that again.
Yes, that's sorry, Jay. My bad, boss. Let's put some more points up. We won't have to struggle trying to find a low number. back to your point. I was talking before the playoffs even started that the Nuggets can't keep giving up 120 points on defense and win basketball games. Mm-hmm. It may work in the regular season, but this is the playoffs.
Right.
The big boys are here with you. They're not going to keep giving up 125. You see what I'm saying? So I was telling you, you can't give up 125 points and win a playoff game. I've been looking. Every time they give up 120, they lose a basketball game.
Yeah, no question. I think their defense has gotten better since Gary Harris has gotten back, but I think the reality is they are still learning how to win. And you can't spend your entire life winning from behind. That's all I know. That's really all I got for the Denver Nuggets.
You
got
to be the lead horse every now and again.
You got to be consistent, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be able to provide some form of consistency that people can attach to your name. Are you consistently bad? Okay, great. But are you consistently good? Okay, well, what makes you consistently good? And in most cases is you play defense when you need to, mm-hmm. and you have players that know how to make shots. And Jamal Murray currently is being guarded by Paul George. So he's been limited. So who else is going to step up besides Nikola Jokic?
I mean, Murray has to. And I think, honestly, somebody off the bench has got to come in and put up 15 points, you know, help them out, do something. 6 points, 4 points off the bench ain't going. That's why you're on the bench. Yeah. You know, you got to do something, dude.
Yeah, I believe it's Michael Porter Jr. I'm going to give you a stat.
MPJ.
I'm going to give you a stat on the way out. When Jamal Murray is guarded by Paul George, he's shooting 25% in the series. So with that being said, we're going to discuss the Avalanche on the other side because they, too, were struggling down the backstretch. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, it cost them, and now they are on their way back to Colorado. With that being said, we'll see you on the other side. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beat On Air Network.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the llama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, llama. Uh-huh. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The llama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man. Live in the now.
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing.
And welcome back to the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. I'm KJ, your host, still joined with Brandon, a.k.a. Squirrel, and Jacob running the board. So, just to piggyback off of what you just said, Doc Rivers also said the same exact thing. He says, Nikola Jokic is the best passing big he's ever seen. And in that interview that he did earlier today, he was making comparisons to Hakeem Olajuwon and Kevin McHale. So, those are high praises. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon is top 10 center. Kevin McHale, top 5 power forward, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So, to be in that class,
I got Olajuwon higher than the top 10 center. We went top 5 center, though.
I mean, I just want to give respect, man, because if we go down
the You ain't giving no respect. Hold on.
Well, I mean, I am.
I guess.
We're not going to break down the list today, you know
okay.
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah. But no, hey, you're right.
It's all about what people think, man. I think Hakeem is top 5, you're but good. For the – majority of our
of
listeners
the world,
is
yeah.
probably going to they're going to be like maybe top 10, top yeah. 15.
Let's be nice to
they don't know
rest
what they're
the
talking
people.
About.
Yeah, so. there you go. Nobody knows what we know here inside the sports box. So
inside the sports box. Yeah. It's not good. Look, man, we have special connections here that no one else has.
We have insiders. Mm-hmm. Sam is our NHL insider.
There you go.
Jake's our college hockey insider.
There you go.
That's right.
So, with that being said, man, let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche. You know, unfortunately, they had a tough time
Friday. They shouldn't have.
They shouldn't have.
I don't think they shouldn't have had a tough time in this series at all.
Dude, I mean, you're talking about a guy who never really played before coming in and having a hat trick on you.
Yeah, they lost to a team that when it blizzards in Dallas, they get like a centimeter of snow. And you can't lose to a hot weather team. Come on now.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to lose to Tampa.
I know. It just hurts my heart every time a hot weather team wins in the NHL.
Trust me. Watching a hockey game in Tampa is the weirdest thing in the world.
I can only imagine.
Like, you walk outside, not 98, you walk in the thing, it's 20 degrees in there with all the ice. You got people playing hockey in the middle of Florida. Trust me, you know, because like we don't have hockey in high school and stuff like that. Like we have football.
You have to pay to play hockey in high school, like out the butt. Wow. In Florida, you know what I mean?
No, like Jesuit and all those like teams, those real Catholic schools and all the private schools. They got all those.
Oh yeah,
teams.
Yeah, because they got the money.
Yeah,
so you can kind of invest in.
I never understood why kids pay to go to high school.
Why do you pay to go to high school? Because
why would your parents pay for you to go to high school?
I mean, they think that private school has premium education. So, does it? That's an argument for another.
Let's ask Emmett Smith. Let's ask Walter Payton. Let's see.
Yeah, those are the true scholars of our time.
Yeah. Those are the geniuses. Walter Payton had a 4.7 GPA in high school.
I totally believe that. And being from Jackson, Mississippi, yeah, that is some supreme education he got there. and I make that joke because I'm from Jackson.
Right, from Mississippi.
I don't want anybody to get offended. So.
You know how the South works.
Oh, yeah. But the Avalanche, you know, I came to recognize something. So last year, the I word was inexperience.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the I word was injuries. Next year, what's going to be the next I word? Because
inconsistency.
Yeah, I was hoping that that was not the next word.
Hopefully,
but
it's not incompetence.
That as well, because when you think about the Colorado Avalanche, I don't think I've ever seen a team with all of the pieces to go the distance, and then the team through improper refereeing, this team is falling apart because guys are getting kicked, sliced, hit with, you know,
with the hockey sticks.
I mean, just all kind of just brutal, unnecessary stuff is happening. And I get it. It's playoff hockey. I'm not being one of those people that's complaining like, you can't hit anyone. You must be crazy to think you can get away with a hit. No, I'm not that. I get it that, you know, in playoff hockey, it's a little bit more dramatic in the sense that they're going to swallow the whistle and they're not going to make every call. But in the same breath, you have to be fair. And I felt like the Dallas Stars got way more calls than the Colorado Avalanche. And the Avalanche were hurt because of penalties, and they were hurt because of injuries. And those two things worked against them dramatically in this series. Besides going down 3-1, I don't understand how the Dallas Stars were even able to have an upper hand on the Colorado Avalanche, because I mean, even with the injuries.
It's crazy you say that.
Said about they were in the box the entire time,
right?
Yeah, they're sitting there in the box. And dude, the crazy thing is, they're up 1-0 on Vegas, dude. Like, nobody's seen that coming either. Vegas is strong now. Vegas has got a good team. Lehner is a great goaltender, dude. Like, I pick that guy every day in FanDuel. You know him and I was picking Grubauer, but you know we seen what we did to, you know.
Yeah,
but anyway, this Kiviranta guy, Kiviranta. Let's see if I'm saying that right. Kiviranta, the Finland native. Boy, is he running wild,
dude!
The hat trick, you know, game 7 coming out blowing us apart, and then him taking the game over for the Stars, dude, against Vegas. Like, you know, I know Cale Makar pretty much has got that rookie of the year thing in the bag.
Yeah, he better.
But I mean, this guy's a rookie. Am I wrong? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how his season was, but I know Cale Makar's season was. Yeah, it's tough to.
He really wasn't around throughout the
season.
Right.
That's if I remembered, I didn't hear too much, and then now, because I thought before playoffs, Cale Makar had rookie of the year sold. It was done.
I don't think they include playoffs in that stuff, do they?
I don't think they did.
No, not for the awards and stuff.
Yeah, just like the other sports.
So Cale Makar,
the voting has already ended.
Yeah, but if you got like a was it playoffs MVP for hockey?
Yeah,
he's right up there on the top.
His kid's got to be him. McKinnon,
McKinnon has to have.
I mean,
it,
even though McKinnon's out, I mean, you gotta come dude, on. You can't, I mean, can you not give that guy the award?
McKinnon through 2 rounds almost had 30 points.
Like, yeah. No. Yeah, you ain't lying.
Like, come on, man. I don't think you can anybody other than McKinney. I mean, if you want to penalize him for not making it to the conference finals, whatever, man. But there's not – I highly doubt he makes this same run next year. This is a unique thing that he's done in 2 rounds. Like, it was a beautiful thing to watch. One quick thing before we get out of here. Before we move on. Talk about the Colorado Rockies. Currently, the Colorado Rockies are 20-21 after losing to the Padres 1-0 on yesterday.
It's like Yankees record.
I don't know, man. The Colorado Rockies, and you brought up something earlier about the Colorado Rockies. If the playoffs started today, they would be in as
an
8th seed.
They would be in as an 8th seed against Atlanta now.
That would not be a good matchup.
So Atlanta's the 1 seed now?
It's a 7. It's a 7 seed.
Oh, okay. So they
Colorado's
the
a 7 seed versus Atlanta. Okay. Atlanta's a 2.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
My bad. I didn't hear you say 8. Sorry.
Yeah. My bad. I thought I remember.
Yeah.
You
no.
Eight earlier.
Yeah.
Earlier.
My bad. My bad. No. They are in at a 7 seed.
So
which
how
is nuts?
Quickly, how seriously do we take the Colorado Rockies right now?
I don't. I had them at 30-30, dude. I didn't think 30-30 would make it, but as it looks right now, 20-20 looks like it makes it. So, I mean, from what it looks like, the way they're moving, they could make the playoffs, dude.
Take them very seriously. The game last week when they came back and won that game against the Diamondbacks. And then they took the series from the Dodgers. This team's getting back on track. We're not going to see what they were at the beginning of the season, but we're going to see a team a little bit worse than that. They've lost a couple pieces. Let's hope Gray can come back from injury. Take this team seriously.
Yeah, I think making a trade for a closer kind of got them a little bit closer to where they wanted to be. So, I think
– which closer did they get? What was his name?
They traded for Michael Givens.
Yes,
Givens, from Baltimore. That's right. Yeah.
And Kevin Pillar has been a real electricity rod.
Yeah.
They also signed A.J. Ramos to their
– which, as soon as they got Kevin, dude, I was like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you need pitching. You got to get pitching. Pitching.
He helps our pitching because he's such a good defensive outfielder.
And, I mean, it's really good when you get somebody like that that does can help out pitching, get you a few more runs where they don't have to give up so many. And if Freeland and Senzatella would stop giving up 10 runs an inning, we'll win a baseball game.
Yeah, no question. I definitely agree. Coming up in this next segment, we're getting to the segment that you all have been waiting for. It's time to talk some Broncos, as we are 6 days from the Broncos season opener, 2 days from the official season opener of the NFL, and 5 days from the NFL on Sundays. We'll get into all of that and more on the other side of the break. This is the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
The Dalai Lama.
Uh-huh.
His laminescence.
Really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Popsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Welcome back to the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. Well, this appears to be our last segment, and I hope you've enjoyed it. But I promise you, if you haven't, you will enjoy this last segment because this is going to be all Broncos, all the time. And I'm not trying to steal anyone's slogan here in town. I just said that. I do apologize. You do own the rights to that. I am your host, KJ. Still joined with Squirrel and my man Jacob on the board. So,
did you hear about the 5,700 fans?
Yeah, I did.
They're going to be allowed at the Broncos game against Tom Brady on September 27th.
You know, yeah. All right, let's go ahead and start there. So, they did approve the 5,700 fans to be in the stadium.
What is that, like 10%?
No, that's 7.5% because the Broncos stadium holds 76,500 fans. So,
what kind of number are they working on there? Why is it 7.5%? Like, is that a safe number they work?
Well, that's what the Broncos and the governor was able to agree on, and also including the third party of the Colorado Health Organization. Mm-hmm. I don't know the official term for it, but they were able to come to an agreement on that, and they did confirm that it could be adjusted throughout the season, so it could go from 57 to 7,000, maybe up to 10,000, maybe. Mm. So not
50%.
No, not this season.
Not even 25.
It won't even get close to
not
that.
Even 25.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I don't think any team is really going to flirt around with that level just yet.
Is this the only team we know of right now that is allowing fans? Because
not mistaken, the Miami Dolphins are as well.
The Gators allowed 10,000 this past weekend. 10,000 fans in the swamp. The fans in the swamp we need, bro.
Yeah.
Because they are serious in the swamp. But that's awesome. That's awesome that they're moving towards this. They got more people. And it's cool that they can get up to maybe 10,000.
Yeah, and I think that says good things about the Broncos, and it says good things about Colorado as well, man. I cannot credit Colorado enough for just doing what they are supposed to do. I know we went through a stretch there where we was looking like some of the other hot spots as far as, you know, not wearing our mask and stuff, but since we've gone under this new order, the second go-round here in Phase 2, like, Colorado's done a great job, and I just want to credit the citizens of the citizens of Colorado for, you know, making sure that they wear their mask and keeping the numbers down as much as possible. And that's pretty much gotten us to this point right here, to be able to allow the governor and to allow the health organizations to take a chance. And if the COVID numbers stay, I'm thinking below 5% as far as fans in game interaction, even with social distancing, I think if you can keep it under 5%, I think, you know, you run the risk of continuing to have fans. But if it gets above 5%, then, you know, you can pretty much scrap it for the rest of the season. So that's what I'm looking at. Now let's take a look at Drew Locke. Drew Locke, you know, he's coming into his second year. He was injured last year, and he was finally able to get off of the injury I forgot what they call it.
Injury prone.
The pup list.
Yes.
Oh, the pup. Yeah, the pup list.
Where you're only on there for part of the season, not the entire season. And he came back and he was able to start the last five games of the season, went 4-1, only losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. But who's ever mad at that? Unless you're a Broncos fan. So Drew Locke has high hopes this year. And coming out of camp, man, you heard it all. You heard they had good days. They've had bad days. You've heard he's had days where he's thrown interceptions. You heard he's had days where if it wasn't for Drew Locke, that offense would have looked like pretty crap. So he's literally given his all. And earlier today on Altitude Sports Radio, it was the morning show. You know, they were talking to Drew Locke today, and Drew Locke was just discussing how it's going to be weird not having that many fans. And he understands that as the quarterback and as the leader of the team, he's going to have to pump that juice into those guys, you know, because it's only so much crowd noise or only so much music that they can play. Eventually, he's going to have to continue to be up and down the sideline, letting the guys know, you know, let's keep fighting, let's keep going. And I just want to talk about Drew Locke as a leader and how he's truly emerged from year one to year two in one offseason. I think it doesn't hurt to have John Elway and Peyton Manning in your back pocket.
No, not at all. I mean, you got two Hall of Fame, you know, quarterbacks. Peyton will be in the Hall of Fame. He's not there yet, but he will be. To have somebody like that, you know, we really look at it, you know, when young quarterbacks sit behind you know, say an Aaron Rodgers, as a perfect example. Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for years, emerged in 1 or 2 years as probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And it was all just because you got to sit behind the knowledge. You got to sit there and practice and watch it every day. Watch his mistakes. One of the greatest.
Patty Mahomes behind Alex Smith.
Yeah, dude, right? And that's and you know, it's exactly the same.
You know, Lamar behind Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, mm-hmm. Dude. You really gotta look at the way, you know, if you don't come into the NFL from college as a quarterback and really get a go, you're never going to get a go.
Yeah, and, I think that you it is a good point.
Hey,
that
turn yourself open to Mike a little bit.
Say what now?
Turn yourself open to Mike a little bit.
Yeah.
It is a good point that they can learn behind these quarterbacks and whatnot, but what it is that they're really learning is the playbook. So when they come in there, they're not just
– Yeah, they're not duds.
Lost, and they're not just seeing stars. Mm-hmm. They actually know, okay, so in this situation, that one of these couple plays is probably going to be called.
Yeah, and you being able to get to sit behind one of those players and practice and rep against the first team defense, you know, you get the experience of you're throwing in the NFL. I mean, I'm throwing against a top tier defense. It's picking me off all the time. You learn quickly, you know, don't squeeze throws, don't overshoot throws, make throws that are pure and that are there. You know, most NFL teams set up plays for certain wide receivers to catch the football. Like it's how it's made. It's how it's built. You know, Z is catching here, Y is catching over there. You know, they run routes, you know, and you make your check downs. But if you sit behind a Brett Favre and you watch all those check downs, you watch those X's, he goes, hey, quarterback jumps in here, the corner jumps, look, if you just have a coach to tell you that, it's not the same as Peyton in your ear saying, look, bro, watch the next play. Watch that linebacker jump. You bump right over him. You
know, that's why Osweiler was so disappointing.
Yeah, and because he didn't have anybody to learn from, you know. And I think Josh Rosen has been the same way. They've been pushing him around the league. He hasn't learned anything.
He doesn't even have a job right now.
He doesn't have a job. Yeah.
He
was a good quarterback in college.
He's on a practice. He got signed to the practice
Tampa
squad.
Bay
for
signed
Tampa Bay.
Him. Yeah, Tampa Bay signed him as a practice
now
squad.
Now, that's a fun spot to land.
It is a perfect spot to land. You're going to really learn from literally the greatest of all time of how to do it.
And look, a great offensive-minded head coach.
Watch this. Mark my words. I'm going to give you a hot take right now. In a year and a half or 2 years, Josh Rosen is going to be one of the best 10-yard throwers you're going to find, because that's all Tom's going to tell him. Look, throw it to that guy 10 yards. He's going to do all your work. Throw it to him 5 yards. He's going to do all your work for you. Do you see Tom Brady doing a lot of work? He doesn't do work. But you know what he does do? He wins football games. And that's all that matters, dude. Who cares if you don't throw for 4,500 yards a season? If you're 12-4, no one cares, dude. You know? So the quarterbacks like Rodgers and like who's the other one? Good Lord. Lamar Jackson, Patty Mahomes, some of the greats right now.
Uh-huh.
They had to sit and watch the greats play. And it's how it's got to go. You don't just jump into the NFL and are a star. It doesn't happen, dude.
In some cases, it is. I mean,
At the quarterback position?
I mean,
yeah, for sure.
You got Peyton Manning, okay. Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Joe Burrow's going to try to do it this year.
Yeah. He's going to try. We'll see. We'll see how that.
That's a tough division, though, man. Three.
Not even just
all-pro
tough,
defenses.
Not even,
man.
Yeah. Not even. Yeah. Since the Steelers' defense is going to be hard. It's going to be. They're going to rough Joe Burrow up. I'm just going to let him know. Baltimore's going to. Well, Baltimore's
dude, Baltimore got all kind of pass rushers, dude. Oh, they spent the whole offseason getting DNs.
I mean, he's got to worry about Myles Garrett swinging helmets at his head.
Yeah, Myles Garrett's playing again. So, but. What I think Joe Burrow has in Cincinnati is an opportunity to become a franchise quarterback. You know, there is nobody behind you, bro. That's worth it. You are the franchise. You were drafted number one for this job. This is your job for 10 years if you want it. That's you. It's Joe Burrow's to lose.
And he's got all the weapons around him to make it. Yeah, A.J. Green, T. Higgins out of Clemson,
if AJ
Joe
Green,
Mixon.
Yeah, if A.J. Green stayed on his realm, he would have been, you know, Hall of Famer, dude.
Yeah.
AJ Green was a great wide receiver. If he stays healthy and he gets going, would you say Taj Boyd?
T. Higgins from Clemson.
T. Higgins is there. Boyd is still there.
Yep, Tyler Boyd's still there.
So he's got a slew of people to throw to. Mixon's one of the better running backs in the league, you know.
And he just got paid.
He just got the Red Sox 6'5".
Wow. Oh, is that Harper? No, it looks like Harper. They all look like Harper. All the long hair.
That was racist.
What do you mean, huh?
Hey, I wish we had a racist drop back there.
Oh, dude, that was racist. Yeah, that'd be great. But we'd all be kicked off.
But man, I just think the Broncos have so much potential this year. I think at their highest ceiling, I think the Broncos can go 10-6. And like you was pointing out, man, there are so many good young quarterbacks, and I think Drew Locke has a chance to kind of step out and make his own path this year. But it's going to be a rough road early on. No preseason. And learning a new offense all in one training camp, man, there's going to be some bumps in the road the first 4 to 8 games.
Honestly, the roughest part is the baby faces. You got KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Sutton's on year two.
Sutton is on year four.
Four?
Uh-huh.
My bad. Fant's on year two.
Yeah.
Lloyd Cushenberry is sitting there.
At one.
Probably going to be a starter at center.
Yeah.
Hasn't took a snap in the NFL.
Not to mention Jake Butt. He's on year two, but really year one because he didn't even play last year.
And I think your backup, Michael O.
Right.
With you as a quarterback only being in year two, you have a lot of work to do. I'm not saying you can't get it done.
There's more than one domino that has to fall.
There's a lot of dominoes. Yeah, they all got to push around and everything.
If one space out a little bit too much and doesn't hit that other one down, Broncos have a ceiling of 6 wins.
Not to mention, again, Lindsey's on, year three?
Yep.
And Melvin, you've never even played with. Yeah. So that offense is all kinds of needs a lot of work to get going, but it's that defense.
New offensive coordinator.
And I think the defense is going to lead this team to things.
I agree, and I'm glad you said that. I think the defense is going to be the continued stalwart that it has been over the last few years.
AJ Bouye is there. Bouye is there now.
Yeah, and it just comes to show you, man. The Broncos. The safeties are good, but I think they're going to struggle at corner again because they chose an undrafted rookie over
Michael Lowe.
Two guys.
The
cornerback.
Yeah.
They chose the undrafted rookie over two corners. One got traded, one got released. And that just comes to show you that they are shaky. And I'm not saying that this guy isn't good, but my God, man, it's going to be a long couple of games at cornerback for a little while. And I know the pass rush is going to cover the gap. But
Bryce Callahan ain't going to get it done by himself.
No. But,
do you see Michael Lowe starting?
He is.
I'm saying do you see him by the
end of
the
year? Do I see him starting? No.
By the end of the year?
No,
I mean,
because I don't – Pat Sherman's not going to go to a two tight end offense, man. He's going to run
Michael Ojemudia. He's a corner.
Oh, my bad.
You're talking about Albert O. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm tripping.
Michael O.
The same wavelength you were.
Yeah.
Michael O. Albert O. You know, they're all.
Yeah. There's potential that he could start, but I don't see it. I think they're going to roll with the vets this year. And, I mean, dude, unless he's just making crazy plays, then yeah. But I think he's just going to roll with his vets this year and then go back and reassess this offseason. And then when they have a full training camp and they have a couple of preseason games, because they will have preseason games because COVID has proved you need preseason games.
You need
and
preseason
they will do
games.
That. Yeah. So I think they'll be in good hands. And that's all the time we have with you today, folks. We want to thank you all so much for tuning in to this edition of the Press Box. We want to thank you for our program director here, Josh Dover, for helping us get everything set up as – he has done so splendidly, and I want to thank you, Squirrel, for coming in with me today on a short man notice. And
yes, sir.
Jake, I want to thank you so much for running the board for me today. I am your host, KJ, and we will be back at this thing again on the Press Box tomorrow. Coming up next is the Rush Hour here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Beat On Air Network.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters.